From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns commences a message called Deliver Us from Evil, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Men as Men, God as God. The text is in Isaiah chapter 51, verses 12 and 13. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldst be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man, which shall be made as grass? And forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens, and laid the foundations of the earth, and has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy? And where is the fury of the oppressor? Let the text itself be taken as the portion for today. There is no need to enlarge upon it. Trembling one, read it, believe it, feed on it, and plead it before the Lord. He whom you fear is only a man after all, while he who promises to comfort you is God, your Maker, and the Creator of heaven and earth. Infinite comfort more than covers a very limited danger. Where is the fury of the oppressor? It is in the Lord's hand. It is only the fury of a dying creature, fury which will end as soon as the breath is gone from the nostril. Why then should we stand in awe of one who is as frail as ourselves? Let us not dishonor our God by making a god of puny man. We can make an idol of a man by rendering to him excessive fear, as well as by paying him inordinate love. Let us treat men as men and God as God, and then we shall go calmly on in the path of duty, fearing the Lord and fearing nobody else.
Yeah.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then please take our thanks for taking the time to do so. You may contact us by email or telephone or by regular mail. You may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. Today, Dr. Cairns returns to a consideration of the petition in the Lord's Prayer, "But deliver us from evil." Ultimately, this petition is a prayer that God would enable His people to live in the full liberty of the sons of God, a liberty which He has provided for them by sending His only begotten Son to pay the price of their redemption on the cross. We at Let the Bible Speak hope that at this Christmas season, your heart will rejoice in the truth of God manifest in the flesh. Our prayer is that you may know God's salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, God's unspeakable gift. Now here is Dr. Cairns to introduce this message entitled, Deliver Us from Evil.
Now then, Psalm number 18. It's a very long psalm, so we're reading just a few scattered verses. We're reading verses 1 through 6. And then if you just listen, I'll tell you where we pick it up from there on. 1 through 6, for a start. Psalm number 18. I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Verse 17 through 19. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Verse 25 through 33. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt see of the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. And then the final two verses, 49 and 50. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David and to his seed forevermore. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. We've read this psalm this morning as a background to our returning to the text that we have been considering for some weeks, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13, as we continue with our studies in the Lord's Prayer. Last week we considered the middle part of the verse, deliver us from evil. Remember the whole petition here, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For most of this week, I spent my time perusing, considering, meditating, studying on what follows in the verse. It's a great part, the great doxology. And yet as the week went on, the more I became uneasy, the more I failed to understand why things that should be perfectly plain were becoming more and more muddied. And as I took time before the Lord about this, it became obvious the reason. Preachers, this is why I'm very, very dilatory about doing what many preachers do and what professors of homiletics tell preachers they ought to do, and that is to plan out the sermons for a whole year in advance, that you should have your schedule worked out and you should be working with it. I'm always a little dilatory about that. Well, more than a little dilatory. It seems to me to inhibit you very greatly. Because as I considered this, the reason for my lack of progress at what I was studying became clear. And it was simply that I hadn't finished with what the Lord had directed our attention to last week. We looked at this great text, deliver us from evil, in one very important way last week. But that was far from saying all that could be said upon it, or all that should be said upon it. And so I want us to return to this. Deliver us from evil. As I pondered this, it became clear that this text is much more than a cry for help in a moment of crisis. Now, it is a cry for help in a moment of crisis. It may be used as such. And thank God we not only may cry to God in the crisis, deliver us from this evil, but we should cry to God in the crisis that he would deliver us from evil. But this text is very much more than that. Simply put, it is a prayer that our Father in heaven would enable us to live in the full enjoyment of the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Deliver us from evil. This prayer recognizes the liberty that belongs to the people of God and expresses the urgent desire that we may live in that liberty every day of every week through our lives. Now, as I began to think of that, I thought, well, here is something so simple that I was about to overlook it and leave it behind. And yet, it is one of those simple things that God's people need to be reminded of. Our Father has provided a glorious liberty for all His people. That's the truth that underlies this prayer. That's the truth that makes this a petition that is both right and realistic for us to pray every day of our lives. Remember, the Lord Jesus has instructed us when we pray, this is what we ought to pray. This is not a prayer to be prayed now and again. This is a petition that must be woven constantly into the very fabric of our living. This is a prayer for every day. So, underlying this petition, therefore, is the truth that there is provided for us by our God a constant, full, and glorious liberty. Remember what Paul said to the Galatians in chapter 5 and verse 13? Brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. And in writing to the Romans, he describes that liberty as the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's what the Lord has provided for us. Remember what Joseph said to his brethren. He said, God sent me before you, that is, down into Egypt, to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Now, if Joseph could say that to his earthly brethren, how much more can our greater Joseph, the Lord Jesus Christ, say the same thing to all his people? That the Father sent him down into the depths of his suffering and woe in order to save our lives with a great deliverance. The Bible is full of information about the greatness of this deliverance. The Old Testament gives us a glorious picture of it in God's dealings with Israel, the redeemed people of the Lord. Remember the three great stages in God's dealings with Israel? First, there was the exodus out of Egypt. Redemption by precious blood. Then there was their entrance into Canaan. Victory over every enemy who was standing in their way. Then there was their establishment in Canaan, as they were to settle the land and to enjoy to the full the mighty wonders of God's gracious provision in that land upon which God says He had particularly set His eye. The Exodus, the entrance into Canaan, and the establishment of the people in the enjoyment of God's provision for them. And as the Lord did those three great things for Israel, He desired them to live. And I emphasize the word, to live the Canaan experience. He desired them to enjoy fully what He had provided. Now I know that there is a very deep and real sense in which we can say that every experience of the children of Israel happened according to the purpose of God. Nothing undecreed, nothing outside of God's purpose can take place. But that's only one aspect of truth. We dare not say that it was the will of God that the children of Israel would spend 40 long years wandering in the wilderness, spinning their wheels, and seeing millions of them die in the wilderness. That was not the will of God. Oh, that was the result of their own folly. God desired these people, once they'd get out of Egypt, to come to Kadesh Barnea and to get into Canaan. That's why He brought them to Kadesh. It was not the will of God when they came into Canaan that there would be remnants of all the nations that they could not subdue, but that they simply put out to tribute. It was not the will of God that they would do that and leave these nations to be snares to them and to bring them into the experience that you have in the book of Judges, where the children of Israel were constantly brought back into bondage. God's will for this people was that they would be living in the enjoyment of what He had given to them and made possible for them in the land of Canaan. That was true both nationally and individually. Take it on an individual level. The psalmist said in Psalm 56:13, "Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I might walk before God in the light of the living?" Why had God delivered him from death? In order that He would deliver him from falling. In order that he would walk in light. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7 makes it clear, when you're walking in the light, you're walking in the full experience of the blood atonement of Christ, and you're walking in fellowship with God. That's why God delivered him from death, that he might walk in light and in fellowship in the full enjoyment as a believer of what God had provided. It was true not only for the individual, but for the body politic, for the whole nation. Remember what Obadiah verse 17 says, "Upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions." Why, there's an interesting turn of phrase. Possess their possessions. That seems to use the big word tautology. But it's not. It's good theology. You see, by God's covenant, Canaan was Jacob's possession. But for how many years and even hundreds of years could you look at Canaan and realize that Jacob and Israel was not in possession? And this is what the Lord is saying should be true of the nation. They should possess their possessions. In New Testament terms, this is what the Lord wants for every Christian and for every Christian church. He wants us to live in the fullness of what He has provided for us in Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.